Radio Prague News.
Czech legislation to protect UK citizens should be passed quickly. A top judge says the president has attempted to influence court rulings. And officials in Prague are considering naming a street after the murdered mayor of Gdansk. No parties in the lower house will veto a fast-track process under which legislation will be passed ensuring the rights of British citizens in the Czech Republic following the UK's departure from the EU, the Minister of the Interior Jan Hamáček said on Thursday. The bill should be debated and approved in its first reading, he said. Mr. Hamáček said the amendment would introduce transition periods in 18 different areas, under which British people would have the same rights as EU citizens until the end of 2020. He said he expected the London government would reciprocate and protect Czechs living in the UK. A former chairman of the Supreme Administrative Court, Josef Baksa, says President Miloš Zeman's office has attempted to influence courts with regard to the outcome of cases. In an interview with newspaper Deník N, the judge said this concerns some of the Czech Republic's highest courts. Last week, the weekly Respekt reported that President Zeman's right-hand man, Vratislav Mináš, had contacted a number of judges, including Mr. Baksa. He confirmed this in the new interview. Mr. Mináš denies the allegations, saying he had merely been relaying the president's opinions. Officials in Prague are considering naming a street after the slain mayor of the Polish city of Gdansk, Pavel Adamowicz, the newspaper Pruski Dziennik reported on Thursday. The mayor of Prague, Zdeněk Hřib, has requested that the city's street names committee find a suitable location in the coming weeks. Pavel Adamowicz died after being stabbed at a charity event last weekend. He oversaw the naming of a street in Gdansk after Václav Havel, not long after the former Czech president's death in 2011. A Czech men's group is planning to encourage reflection on the dangers of alcohol again this year, with the seventh edition of Dry February. The director of the League of Open Men, Josef Petr, said the rules were simple, not one drop of alcohol for the whole of the month. The group's dedicated website offers tips on exercises and alternative non-alcoholic drinks, as well as advice from psychologists. Czechs rank among the top five nations in the world in terms of annual per head consumption of pure alcohol. The immigration police last year uncovered just under 5,000 people who were on Czech territory illegally. The figure was 254 higher than in 2017. The most common cases involved Ukrainians, Moldovans and Vietnamese who had overstayed their residence permits, a spokesperson said on Thursday. The number of refugees caught using the Czech Republic as a transit country rose by 19 to 191. In most cases, they had come from Slovakia and were headed for Germany. The weather forecast Friday should see bright spells and the chance of snow in places in the Czech Republic, with daytime highs of up to 2 degrees Celsius. Temperatures should then fall to below freezing point for several days. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news. Hi there, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, Czech officials speed up a bill to protect UK citizens if a no-deal Brexit occurs. Czechs are drinking less lager in pubs, and brewers are turning to craft-style beers in a bid to fight the decline. And later we go underground to the Moravian Karst, which boasts over 1,000 caverns and gorges. All that's coming up in today's programme here on Radio Prague. Amid continuing uncertainty over Brexit, Czech officials are pushing to speed up the approval of a government bill that would protect the rights of UK nationals living in the Czech Republic in the event that Great Britain leaves the EU without a deal. The bill would ensure that UK nationals would have the same rights as all EU citizens till the end of the year 2020. Daniela Lazareva has more.
With a Brexit date looming large and the chances of a no-deal Brexit becoming increasingly likely, EU member states are taking stock of the situation and what can be done to minimise the damage should no agreement be reached by March 29th. Last week, the Czech government approved a bill which would protect the rights of the several thousand British nationals living and working in the country for a transition period. Interior Minister Jan Hamáček has been lobbying hard to get the bill approved in a fast-track legislative process, which would enable it to win approval in both Houses of Parliament and be signed into law by the President by March 29th at the latest.
The aim is to introduce a transition period up until the end of 2020, during which the rights of British nationals in the Czech Republic would be protected similarly as those of EU citizens. This concerns 18 spheres, including the conditions governing marriage, acquiring Czech citizenship, permanent residence, health and pension insurance, and many others. This means that up until the end of 2020, British nationals would enjoy exactly the same rights as do EU citizens.
In a fast-track process, the bill would be approved in one reading, as is done in the event of legislative emergencies. And while some MPs have expressed concern about Britain passing a reciprocal legislation in time to protect the 100,000 Czechs living and working in Great Britain, there is broad support for the proposed bill among MPs and senators. The British ambassador to the Czech Republic, Nick Archer, has welcomed the move on Twitter, saying that the Czech Republic's plan appears to be the most generous of proposals made so far by any other EU member state to protect the rights of British nationals. Meanwhile, Czech top officials have said that while the country is preparing for different scenarios, including a no-deal Brexit, they are still hoping that this worst-case scenario can be avoided. Czech Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček said he would like to see Brexit managed in such a way that would enable the two countries to mutually protect their citizens and for bilateral trade and cooperation in the spheres of culture and education to continue as before.
Great Britain is leaving the European Union. It is not leaving Europe. It will continue to be our partner in the future. However, the ball is now in Britain's court, and we are waiting to see what course of action the British Prime Minister will propose on Monday.
Asked how Prague would respond to a possible request for an extension of the Brexit deadline, Petříček said this would have to be negotiated within the 27-member bloc.
That report was by Daniela Lazareva. According to legend, Bohemian hubs were so prized that King Wenceslas ordered the death penalty for anyone caught exporting cuttings from which the plants could be grown. But with beer consumption and pub visits down here at home, big Czech brewers are relying on exports to make up the difference, while trying to lure locals back with craft-style and limited-run beers. Brian Kennedy reports.
Big breweries have long offset small profit margins at home through exports, which command premium prices. Yet many of the big names are in the red. Staropramen, for example, announced this week it has lost 82 million crowns last year, in part due to, quote, a significant drop in overall beer sales in the gastronomy sector. Beer remains the most consumed alcoholic beverage in the land that gave the world Pilsner-style lager, but fewer people are ordering it in pubs and restaurants, and overall numbers of regular beer drinkers have been steadily dwindling as wine and other spirits have gained ground. These are among the findings of the latest Beer in Czech Society survey by the Center for Public Opinion Research, which has been tracking the issue since 2004. It says 6 out of 7 Czech men and every other Czech woman drinks beer on a regular basis. But surveys show big Czech brewers can no longer rely on reaching them through the pubs, catering to regulars, Stammgastové. So they are increasingly looking to imitate craft brewers, so says Jan Šura, head of the Czech Moravian Association of Many Breweries.
Big breweries, in fact, are using small breweries as a laboratory. They follow the trends on the market, what beers the small and micro breweries are making and enjoying success with, and add similar ones to their own production.
Mini breweries often try to compete on freshness and purity, offering unfiltered and unpasteurized beers. For their part, big players have responded by sending their own unpasteurized beers straight to pubs and restaurants. There are over 430 mini brewers now in the Czech Republic, which altogether account for about 2% of production. Initially, many concoct unconventional brews, for example, using seasonal ingredients, to appeal to connoisseurs. India Pale Ales, or IPAs, were big hits recently, as are specialty beers aged in bourbon or whiskey barrels. That said, small breweries often return to the roots of Czech beer tradition by introducing ales or lagers with a strong regional identity. In this way, the lines between big and small breweries are being redrawn, says Jan Šura.
Mini breweries, after introducing something new and unusual, often return to the bedrock of beer, lager, and start paying far, far more attention to quality.
There has even been some crossover between big and small brewers, traditional rivals. To mark the 100th anniversary of the founding of Czechoslovakia last October, Pilsenský Prazdroj, makers of the top Czech export, Pilsner Urquell, teamed up with the small brewery Pivovar Matuška to create a special brew.
Thank you for that report, Brian Kennedy. Now, the Czech Republic is known for its beautiful historic sites, including gorgeous cities and towns, chateaus and castles. But few foreign visitors realize the country also has numerous natural wonders. One of them is the Moravian Karst, with its famous Macocha Abyss and over 1,000 caverns and gorges. Vít Bohanka has been there and did the following report.
So we are going on the same way.
The heavy door shuts tight. Jakub Gabriš of the Moravian Karst administration leads me into a dimly lit space. We walk a few hundred meters underground and there is the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. All of a sudden we hear birds again and come out at the bottom of a huge abyss. Welcome to Macocha.
Moravian Karst, it's a very important karst area in the Czech Republic. It's about 92 quadrate kilometers and here are 1,100 caves. And five caves are for the tourists, like Šouf caves. One of these, where we are now, it's a Punkva cave. Most people know this cave because here you can go on the boats on the underground river, on the Punkva river, and include the tour, it's the Macocha Abyss. This abyss is 138 meters deep.
Local people knew that there were caves in this area since time immemorial. Archaeologists found various artifacts from Paleolithic period, or the oldest part of the Stone Age. But systematic exploration came only much later, and at different times, at different places.
This cave was discovered in the year 1909 with the professor Dr. Karl Absolon. The part where you can go on foot, it was between years 1909 to 1914, and the parts where you can go on the boats, it was 1920 to 1933. So we can say it's more than 100 years back.
So the other caves, I suppose, I mean, people were probably exploring them even earlier, right?
It really depends on the cave. For example, one cave, it was later, open for the tourist and discovery. But other caves, for example, the Slobsko-Šošovská cave, yeah, there was in the 19th century. So it really depends on the place.
Encyclopedia Britannica defines karst as a terrain usually characterized by barren, rocky ground, caves, sinkholes, underground rivers, and the absence of surface streams and lakes. It results from the excavating effects of underground water on massive soluble limestone. So says Encyclopedia Britannica. In more simple terms, Moravian karst was created by the interaction of water and stone over millions of years.
All these caves was, of course, created over the waters. It can be from the river or from the water from Alps. And here, this karst area is most in the limestone, in the Devonian limestone. So, for example, this cave of the same, it's a Devonian limestone where the age is about 360 to 380 million years old. But the Punkva River is created from two streams. One, Bílá voda, like white water, it depends if we say it in the Czech or we translate it. And the second is Slobský potok, Slobský stream. It's going in the underground, and in the Amaterská cave, that is the longest system in the Czech Republic, it is about 40 kilometers, these two streams created the Punkva River. So they're going all together.
Underground.
Underground. Underground in the Amaterská cave. And after, it's going many kilometers underground, yeah. And after, you can see here in the Macocha Abyss, that is the same, that is the water from the Punkva River. And after, it's going out where we can go on the boats. Soon after, you can see only in the exit of the cave. So it's a many kilometers cave system.
We head back to the caves. Some are small and slightly claustrophobic. Others are very large, even majestic, like huge halls. The paths are lined with so-called drip stones created over millennia by limestone and other geological ingredients dissolved in the water that slowly penetrates the ground from the surface.
Yeah, you can see the some tour going there, because in the season it's going here every 20 minutes, 54 people.
And that's kind of the maximum allowed number of people into one group.
One way it's because they're going the boats, they're going and every 20 minutes three boats for the 18 people. And there is the traffic in the cave, and it's impossible to go more boats. Another way, of course, is to protect the cave, because it's impossible to take here 500,000 here people. Yeah. Because, of course, we're looking for the temperature, for the microclimate and everything. So now we know if it's going here 200,000 people, the microclimate and everything is not changed. It's the same.
But if it were more, I mean, there could be some changes.
It can be.
What's this? I mean, where are we now?
So we are in the first place where is the stop for the tourists. It's the front dome, and the dome where is the Miro Lake. The Miro Lake you will be see later. We send Miro Lake because you can see the ceiling, like opposite from up in the water.
Mirror Lake. When was this cave opened?
Discovered it was in the 1909. And some parts, 1 year later, was open for the tourist. Because in general, the cave was discovered between year 1909 to 1933. But some parts was open 1 year after the discovery in this cave. Of course, everywhere you can see the dripstones. We say that the dripstone is going from the up, it's a stalactite. From down, it's a stalagmite. And if connected, it's a stalagnite. Yeah, so there are three types of these dripstones. Of course, for example, the guides say for the dripstone the names. Yeah? For example, you can see like it's the oval. Sometimes say owl, that is here. Owl, there's the minaret. Yeah, so it really depends on the fantasy and on the guides.
Beautiful.
Jakub took me to the Punkevn cave, which is probably the best known and most visited. There are, however, four more caves open to the public, and each one of them has something special to offer.
Slobsko-Šešovská cave, Balcarka caves, Catherine's cave, and Vipustek cave. For example, in Slobsko-Šešovská cave, there is tour for about 2 hours. You can see big halls and corridors in the cave, and you can see the underground abyss there in this cave. Or you can visit the discovery tour in this cave, when you can go with the helmet, with the lights, and you can visit some parts of the cave where you can go on the knee. And so it's like the speleological adventure tour. In Balcarka cave, there you can see very nice dripstones. Catherine's cave, there you can see a very big dome. The visit is there only for 45 minutes, so we, for example, recommended it for small children or for families, because the tour is not so long for them, maybe because the small children can be bored if you are 2 hours in the cave. And in the Vipustek cave, it's a very special cave when we opened circa 10 years, and because it was many years under the Czech army, because there is a nuclear cover in the cave. So it's some between technical and the cave.
We finish our little tour looking again at the Macocha Abyss. But while at the beginning we were admiring this incredible creation of nature from its bottom, accessible via one of the caves, now we can do so from above, from one of the two viewing platforms. For Jakub Gabriš, this really is the heart of Moravian Karst. Even if you don't have much time and you are just passing through this corner of Czechia, you shouldn't miss it.
I think the best is to see the abyss. How to explain is this now, but it's a very nice and important place in the Karst area, because really 138 meters deep abyss, and you can see from up and from down, because on the top of this abyss there are two viewpoints, so you can see from up down. And if you go in the Punkva cave, including this cave, you can go on the bottom of this cave. So really, there is not so many places like here when you can visit like the tourist.
Jakub Gabriš from the Moravian Karst Administration. And one more thing. Macecha, or Macocha in the local Moravian dialect, means stepmother. Should you be curious why the abyss got this peculiar name, there is a legend, a folk tale that the locals will tell you. Here is what I heard. Once upon a time, there lived a farmer called Harlech. He was blessed with a young wife and a son and was doing fine. Unfortunately, his wife fell ill and died. After some time, he married again, and his new wife gave him another son. But as often happens, she did not like her slightly older stepson, because he was due to inherit the whole prosperous farm sometime in the future, as was the custom in that land. One day, Farmer Harlech went to a market in a nearby town and took his younger son along. His wife said to her stepson, "Come to the forest with me. Help me gather some strawberries." So they went, and she took him to a place where the villagers did not dare to go. There was a large black hole in the ground, and no one knew how deep it was. She ordered the boy to go right to the edge of the abyss, where the strawberries were most plentiful. As he was carefully picking the berries, looking at the ground, she pushed him as hard as she could. The poor boy disappeared in the abyss, crying with fear and horror. The cruel stepmother started running away, not looking right or left. But somehow she kept hearing the boy's desperate voice. It would not leave her, and she started panicking. She fully realized what she had done and was overtaken with fear of God's wrath. She lost her way in that deep forest, and it was as if her own legs carried her back to the abyss. Desperate, she covered her eyes and jumped in the darkness. Meanwhile, her husband and son returned home. A terrible storm started, and the farmer realized that something bad must have happened. Despite the rain, wind, and thunder, he started searching for missing wife and son. Close to the abyss, he heard a faint crying. Looking down, he saw his son clinging desperately to some branches and shrubs below the edge. So he ran back to the village as fast as he could, gathered a few neighbors with ropes and ladders, and finally managed to get the son out of the abyss just as the boy was losing his last bit of strength. He just cried and cried and couldn't answer when they asked him where his stepmother, or Matsuka, was. Without words, he just pointed to the dark abyss. And since that time, everyone has called it Matsuka as a reminder of a cruel and foolish woman who died because of her greed. So ends the legend. And finally, some practical notes. Moravian Karst and Matsuka Abyss are best accessible from Brno, the second biggest city in the Czech Republic. It is easy to find one of the operators that offer various kinds of tours with guides in English or other languages online. You can also find useful information on the website czechtourism.com. From Moravia, Vít Pohanka, Radio Prague.
And that report was first broadcast in September. And that's all we have time for in today's program. Please send any comments you may have to english@radio.cz. And you'll also find us, of course, on Twitter, on Facebook and on Instagram. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, thanks a lot for listening, folks, and do join us again soon.